particular about my library.
Created by Opal Song,
Revolutionary Joe,
and
Seer.
Hello, and welcome back to Particular About My Library, the best book podcast this side of the Marianas Trench. On either side, actually. Maybe there's a better one at the bottom, but I wouldn't count on it. And welcome to our special guest, the irreplaceable Max.
We both know I'm only here because Featherstone has a date tonight with Adele.
We both know Adele would cut me in half with a machete, but you don't need to dwell on it any longer than necessary.
I just like to be open in my business dealings.
Open, indeed. I see your trap and I'm not taking the bait. Don't smirk at me. At any rate, we technically have another guest host today as we're recording in the living room. Anne won't agree to read any of the books, and she's not known for being verbose even when she does, but if you listen hard enough, you might hear her glaring at me. Yes, the temperature has distinctly dropped by several degrees. Well, we'd stay out of your hair too, Anne, if Max would condescend to join me in the recording booth.
You mean the closet.
If you strive to be open, then I strive to be accurate.
It's accurately called a closet.
A room can serve two functions, and if my hanging clothes also serve to enhance the audio quality, then all the better. Or that's what I might say, but here we are.
You know nobody can hear the difference, right?
I can hear the difference. How anyone could ignore the tinny reverberations is utterly beyond me. Now, Max, you've been on the show before, but why don't you introduce yourself to our first-time listeners? Or should I do the honors?
By all means.
Very good. Max is a successful businesswoman and entrepreneur, a pillar of the community and captain of industry. Have I left anything out?
I own and manage several popular brothels.
I was leading up to that. Max is also one of the most well-read women, people, really, that I have ever met.
Oh, how it must wound you to admit it. But in my line of work, it pays to be well-read. Many men, people, really, will simply melt if you can quote Alexandre Dumas from memory.
Anyone can quote Dumas. All for one, one for all. See? Anyone.
In the original French? Though Anne is more partial to Le Comte de Monte Cristo.
All that revenge and murder? I can imagine. I prefer to let Anne take the lead in our intimate relations, personally. Oh, put the knife down, Anne. We'll stop talking about you. Thank you. Now, why don't we move on to audience commentary and feedback?
How much of the feedback you get is from questionable persons?
Oh, Billy has only written once or twice. Who keeps track of these things? He's surprisingly articulate, but his judgments are somewhat dubious. And after the plagiarism scandal, he's persona non grata in the community anyway. At any rate, it's important to engage the community. Our list of comments is curated by Anne, by the way, so I haven't read any of them yet. You'll be hearing my honest, unspoiled reactions today. Our first comment is from friend of the show, Charles Vane. Chaz says, "Fuck you, Jack." Thank you, Chaz. Your input is always appreciated.
I can't believe you sound sincere.
Oh, that's how Chaz shows he's listening. I've tried to get him on the show, of course, but he simply refuses to read fiction. Or non-fiction. I'm fairly certain I could persuade him to read a motorcycle manual, but only because he rides a motorcycle. God, he's cool. Now, our next comment is actually an email from James Flint, another friend. Acquaintance? Sometime associate of the show. It says, this appears to be 3 pages... political manifesto on the need to eliminate our reliance on fossil fuels using Moby Dick as the thematic throughline. We did read Moby Dick last week, so kudos for listening where it's due. Our next correspondence is a rejection letter from Edward Teach to appear on the show. And don't mix personal mail with audience commentary. It's bad enough that Chaz won't put in a good word for me. I see you smiling. Our final comment comes from Madi. Finally, a voice of reason. Madi says, a powerful commentary on the danger and thrills of obsession, beautifully written prose, and surprisingly subversive at times. A short comment, but thoughtful, and with how busy Madi must be running her outreach organization, I'm quite impressed she had the time for such a famously long and dense novel.
Are you kidding? She's probably read it 4 times.
I wouldn't doubt it. Now, for this week's, we have rather a different sort of treat. Not our usual affair of tastefully curated recommendations, but one does enjoy a good suckling roast on the occasion. And with that, I would like to introduce A Cruising Voyage Around the World by Woods Rogers. Are you familiar with Rogers's work, Max? An interesting man, I should say. In the traditional cursed sense, of course.
Cursed in the unlucky sense? Or are you referring to his writing ability?
As eager as I am to answer that, let's hear your thoughts first.
Very generous of you. I'm shocked you're able to hold yourself back from the sound of your own voice for so long. Did you get sick of it yet?
Of my own voice? Hardly. Anne can tell you how I've tried, can't you, Anne?
As for the book, I'm surprised at your animosity. Roger's voluble arrogance seems like it would be just your style.
You wound me, Max. You wound me. Really, save the animosity where it's more appropriately warranted. And with that smooth segue, if I do say so myself, how familiar are you with Roger's life and works?
I know rather a lot, actually. My ex was quite a fan of his. I understand that Woods Rogers is the son of a wealthy family who own several publishing houses, in addition to other ventures. Rogers attended and graduated from law school, but never passed the bar. He publicly vowed to never rely on his family's wealth or connections, and tried his hand at several different career paths.
Which, despite his so-called noble vows, always coincided with his family's business ventures, or did you not notice?
Oh, I noticed. He tried to start a restaurant at one point. Eleanor took me, before they shut down. The food was quite tasteless.
Not much different from his writing, then.
No. I understand that Cruising Voyage Around the World was originally self-published, but didn't move many copies. Until it was surprisingly picked up by a major publisher.
3 guesses which family owns that major publisher.
No guesses needed.
Quite. I must assume this is what led to your breakup with Eleanor, her enthusiasm for the man?
No, our business was unrelated. And none of yours, may I add.
I believe he is the sort of man who has said, completely without irony, if I can make it, anyone can.
He outright says as much in the book.
And how would you summarize the book, since you've done such an outstanding job of summarizing its author?
I would describe it as a hybrid memoir and self-help guide to achieving prosperity, ostensibly through recounting a sailing voyage around the world.
Ah, yes. If I can make it, anyone can. Step 1. Buy a yacht.
A small, humble yacht.
I must know. Tell me, what part did you find the most insufferable?
A difficult question. But if pressed, I'd say it was all the celebrity non-name-dropping.
I know what you mean. I met such and such famous person, you've most definitely heard of them, but I won't tell you who, and they found me just so charming, aren't you impressed?
On a purely practical level, I found his advice impractical.
Like step 1, his other steps are equally based on the assumption of wealth and privilege. Step 2, invest vast sums of inherited wealth. Step 3, find investors to hand you more wealth. All from the sun-drenched deck of your yacht from step 1.
I almost feel compelled to defend the man.
Do try, please. I'd love to see you accomplish such a feat.
I did say almost.
Fine. Granted.
Can we conclude that you don't recommend this book to your audience?
Every book has its place. Not every book has their place on my shelves, mind, and this one among them. But if you count yourself among its target demographic, the wealthy male heir of a large corporate conglomerate who enjoys sailing, then you may possibly find some merit in its pages. For the rest of us, well, we can all use a good lark sometimes, if not the lark that the author intended. Which leads us quite smoothly to the question we ask every episode. Do you have any further recommendations for our listeners for books they might enjoy if they also enjoyed Cruising Voyage Around the World?
This isn't my normal fare. As I've said, I read the book on the recommendation of my ex-girlfriend.
The most respectable way of phrasing, I don't read trash, that I've maybe ever heard.
Judging from Anne's face, I take it you do read trash?
I've heard it on good authority that it is a sign of intelligence to find enjoyment in bad literature. Again, not the enjoyment the author intended, but what of it? They did their best, now I'll do my worst. That's how the world turns.
That's a rather high-minded way of saying you read garbage.
Not exclusively. I should say that the very existence of this podcast stands in testament to that. But speaking of garbage, your question does return us to the important question. If our listeners would like any recommendations in a similar vein to this book, what would you suggest?
For educational content, I'd suggest The Back of a Cereal Box. For entertainment value, I'd also recommend The Back of a Cereal Box.
How pedestrian, Max. That's not typical of you.
I'll leave the real trash for you, Jack, since we both know you're better suited for it.
Yes, I do have a greater sense of literary courage. On that, we apparently agree. As for my recommendation, I'd have to go with the Maze Runner novels. They aren't nonfiction, but they share the same sense of disconnect with basic common sense.
Why is Anne laughing?
Oh, I could say much more. Anne's heard it all already. I'm saving my full ravings for a dedicated podcast episode. Would you like to return as a guest for that, Max?
Would I have to read the book?
That's the general idea, yes.
Then I'm afraid I'm busy, with an inflexible commitment. You'll have to drag Featherstone into this particular folly.
If you're not interested, maybe you'd rather take over the ad read? Here, it's already scripted. Just read this.
Why do you even have an ad read? Isn't this below your so-called principles?
My principle in this case is money, and we need to replace the hot water boiler. Thank you for reminding me. Just read it.
I am not reading this!
My script! Now I'll have to improvise. No backing out now, I've already taken the money.
I can't believe you're advertising for Eleanor Guthrie!
Would you say she's sold out now that she's gone legitimate?
Yes.
Your words, not mine. I am contractually obligated at this moment to disagree with you in an official capacity.
And unofficially?
Unofficially, I purchase my cannabis from Thomas. The difference in quality is... notable. I'm not saying in which direction, mind, but notable.
I don't think you need to say more. As I recall, Cruising Voyage Around the World gives advice to hire and fire staff as quickly as possible to avoid paying them any livable salary. I don't think I need to say what effect this business model has on quality.
Dear listeners, we cannot confirm or deny the speculation that Eleanor Guthrie's cannabis product deliberately squanders quality for profit at the recommendation of a man whose restaurant closed after 3 months and 5 public health and safety violations. What we can confirm is... Where did that paper go? Ah, here it is. You'll get 20% off your first payment with promo code Calico. I think I'm also supposed to mention the website, but that's on the half of the paper I can't find. I do hope they still pay us, but also I simply can't be bothered to find it.
Oh, they will. I'll make sure of it.
I'd pretend to be astonished you're being nice to me, but we both know you're just being nice to Anne.
Anne deserves hot water.
That we can agree on. It's been a short week, but some books only warrant so much attention. Tell us, Max, do you have any social media where our listeners can find you?
You can find me as just Max most everywhere. Twitter and Instagram are where I'm most active. I also have an OnlyFans, but I must warn that the fee to enter is high. I'm a professional and I won't accept payment less than I'm worth.
And you can find me as Calico Jack on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, the works. What about you, Anne? Where on social media can our listeners find you?
Good luck fucking finding me.
Anne Bonny speaks for herself, and I, for one, would never dare to argue. That's the show this week, my friends. Please leave a review, and if you have any suggestions for what we should read in the future.
Suggestions you won't listen to.
Audience engagement, Max. We talked about this. I will, naturally, dismiss suggestions that aren't up to par for the quality our podcast upholds, unless they hold some entertainment value like Mr. Rogers. Come back next time when we're reading something a little spicier, an erotic thriller by Miranda Barlow called My Husband's Lover. More information in the episode description. Have you read anything by Barlow?
I recommend her work as research for our newest employees.
High praise indeed coming from you. Maybe we'll ask you to join us again. But don't wait until next week to find out yourselves, listeners. Read it for yourself and join us again next week. Farewell.
The end.
The end.